What would you put in your backpack if you had a new coaching engagement but could only take a limited number of items? Each episode, the Coach's Backpack looks at the multifaceted world of coaching and asks a new guest to tell us what they would take with them and why. Hi, I'm Mr. David Lowe, and this week we're taking a peek inside the backpack of Dr. Andrea Kilpatrick, exec coach from Kilpatrick Executive Coaching. Welcome, Andrea.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
So first of all, how would you describe what you do in under 20 words?
This is so difficult. I know everyone finds this difficult. I support leaders to understand and move beyond areas that might be holding them back in their development. In brackets, often confidence, close brackets.
Okay.
It's bang on 20.
I never count, actually. Don't tell anyone. Okay, so here is the scenario. You've been asked to coach a new client. You don't know who they are or where they are, but you are limited to what you can take with you. So you've got your essentials. You've got your clothes and your toothbrush, but you're also allowed to take, in addition to those, one book, one tool, technique, concept, method, approach, or whatever you want to call it, one other item of your choice, plus a person from the past or the present to accompany you. So, Dr. Kilpatrick, what would you take with you and why?
What would I take with me? So I thought long and hard about this, and instead of a tool, I thought I would bring the coaching space or the safe space of coaching. I don't know if that's an allowed equivalent. And why did I say this? Well, I've just finished some research for my doctorate, and the safe space of coaching came out. So I interviewed a number of leaders and coaches asking about confidence in the transition to senior leadership. And the research really showed that the space of coaching was, and the safe space of coaching was just so powerful and really helped senior leaders to share vulnerability and to feel confident by doing so. And it was just a space, as you know, and others who coach will know, but the space of coaching is just something that particularly senior people, busy people, don't get anywhere else. So I thought instead of, you know, a tool or a technique, it's just the space of coaching that I think I would bring.
Okay. And how much space in the backpack does this take? How much space does space take up, Andrea?
Well, I can wrap up space into tiny little bits, so it takes none at all. So it's brilliant. So it gives me lots more space for everything.
And any tips for how to create the best space for people in leadership?
So that's a really good question. Amazingly, you've been maybe surprised by this, but there seems to be very little research on what contributes to a safe space or the space. And there's some work on trust and things like that. So yes, obviously trust. I don't know. It's a really good question. It's something I would like to think more about, and I would say do more research on. I don't think I will, but I think it's the things like making sure just building the rapport, taking time to build the relationship so that they know you've got integrity, so that they know it's confidential, so that they can let down their guard. But as I say that, I know from my practice when I coach people, and I don't think it's because I'm necessarily the best at building it more quickly than anyone else, that trust and sense of safety, I know that people say things and feel safe quite quickly. There's just something about a coaching approach, I think, that, and people are so desperate to have a safe space that's not a spouse at home who doesn't really have time to listen, or that's not someone at work they just can't talk to. So I think there's a readiness and the need almost that comes from them that helps you to create it as well.
Having heard you at a conference, I think I remember you saying that starting the relationship or the coaching before they transitioned to leadership was important.
Yeah, really important. It wasn't actually a question I asked necessarily during the research, but there were people I interviewed who had had coaching. A small number of those I interviewed had had coaching before the transition, and they were the ones who had made the transition more successfully, at least in terms of confidence. So one person I interviewed had shadowed the person whose role they took over for 9 months or so, and they'd had coaching during that time. So, and the coaching had really just helped them to prepare. And so my research showed that preparation really helped with confidence. Sort of intuitive, really, but it was really clear from so many of them that that was important. And the clarity, which again was shown to help with confidence and was so often lacking for leaders who didn't have that time beforehand. And the sense of unknown for those who didn't have that was something that really contributed to a loss of confidence. So having the clarity of, I know what I'm doing by the time I get there. And coaching was shown in my study to really help with clarity. So coaches helped them think about priorities, direction, how they wanted to take on the role. So I would always say, if you could, if budget's allowed, if you're an organisation, if you could help someone to have coaching before a transition and then during the early part of transition, that would be amazing.
Marvellous. I don't know if when you go on holiday, you pack light, and this is why you've chosen space to go in your backpack so far. But let's see what else you're going to put in it. Maybe there's a pamphlet instead of a book.
There's a book. Oh, God, this was really hard for someone who's just come out of the back end of 3+ years doing a doctorate. I have, I don't know if you can see behind me, but you can't see the full scale of it, but I have bought.
You certainly can't see it on a podcast, Andrea.
No, you can't see it on a podcast. I have so many books, and none of which I would recommend on this because it would bore everyone silly. So I tried to think of a user-friendly book relevant to my interest of confidence. And the book I am going to suggest, and I'm going to hold it up for you that not anyone else can see, is this one. It's called Playing.
Let's not tell anyone. Don't tell anyone what it is. Just hold it up and we'll keep it a secret. No, I'm joking.
What's that now?
It's a visual podcast only. No, oh yes, please do.
It's called Playing Big by Tara Moore, M-O-H-R. So it is absolutely not an academic tome because the quote on the front is by Marie Claire. It says, for anyone who feels that they're being held back in their career, this is the book for you. So it doesn't sell it in a way that I think it should, but it's not an academic tome. It is a book I recommend to clients. It's written primarily for women, but there's a lot in it that I think is relevant to any gender. But it's a really interesting read, not backed up necessarily by research, but on areas of confidence that I think are really important. And it's just written in a really digestible form. So the inner critic, the importance of being able to accept praise, communicating with confidence, not being the good girl student and thinking about the things that help us to be impactful, not necessarily what we know and how clever we are and all the work we've done, but how we interact with people, who we are, what we stand for, the things that we tend not to think about that actually are really important. I recommended this to a lovely client I was working with a few years ago who took it on holiday, and she sent me a photo from her holiday of her lying on a sun lounger with the book, and she put a sticky pretty much on every single page because she kept getting to the next page and saying, oh, and that bit's so relevant, and that bit's so relevant. And I think that's true. I just think there's some really good stuff in here. But the disclaimer is it's not an academic tome, but that's partly why I wanted to recommend it.
Maybe a selling point for many.
Yes.
Okay. So we have your book and your space. What is your final item to go in your backpack?
So weirdly, I've gone spatially with all of this. It's not a thing either, not a tangible thing, but it would be my own development and or my supervision that I go to. Teeny weeny thing. I don't really need a backpack, do I? I just need an envelope or something for this trip. But I realise that's important for me. The doctorate came at a time when I felt I really wanted to learn something. I was looking for a course on becoming a supervisor, which I've now done since, of other coaches, and then saw the page on the doctorate and read that and thought, oh my God, that's what I really want to do. But I like learning and I always want to keep learning. And I really value supervision or learning, but supervision as a chance to reflect on myself and my work. So I would make sure that was in there. Don't know if that actually really answers your question, because I suppose my backpack is for a client session that I'm taking too, but actually it is relevant because I know that I will take a better version of myself to a client session if I've had development or supervision or time to think and to better myself as a coach.
For people who may not do this already, could you give us an argument for why they should care?
About having supervision, yeah, and learning as a coach and reflection. Actually, I'm just thinking, I've just literally rushed out of a coaching session with a lawyer client. I tend to coach quite a lot of lawyers. And she said, oh, I wish I prepared better. She'd had a really difficult meeting about something. Really wished I prepared better. And I said, what do you mean by preparation? Because I knew she didn't mean, you know, reading through and spending hours reading my work and making it into, you know, making notes on it and knowing what I was saying. She meant I wished I'd thought about how I wanted to come across and thought about how the response might have been. And if I just thought a bit more and prepared in that way and reflected, then I would have managed the meeting better. And I guess it comes back to me bringing the coaching space as well. There's something I know that's so important in, and I try and do it in my my own work in reflecting and preparing and just creating space. And for me, that's just sitting with a blank sheet of paper for 5 minutes sometimes and drawing out or writing down or planning or thinking through or putting something on paper about what's coming up. And I know that it getting it out there and thinking it and putting it somewhere tangible really helps me. And it's not just something I'm carrying in my head. I know that I get more stressed when I'm back to back to back and I have absolutely no time to stop and think and plan and prepare and reflect on things.
I mean, how can we improve, right, if we're not reflecting on our performance, whatever that is?
Yeah, but so often people I coach just don't have that time. They just don't have time to stop and think. And in law firms, for example, you have annual appraisals or whatever, and I know so many people leave that to the very last minute, bang out something on a form, send it in for form's sake, but actually they miss the whole point of reflecting and thinking about what they've really done well, what they haven't done, what they need, what they want going forward.
Okay, so your backpack is packed. You've got your book, your space, yeah, your special item. All that is left, not to put in the backpack, because they generally don't fit, is a person.
Okay, so I would bring a musician, in fact, a cellist, because I play the cello and it's a lot of my, something I do in my spare time and love, and we do a lot of family and my daughter plays a cello. And so I play whenever I can. I would bring a cellist who is living called Yo-Yo Ma, who's just a cool guy. He's American, very spiritual, beautiful cellist, plays beautifully, but he does a lot that's, he cares a lot about sort of spirituality and peace in the world. And during COVID and lockdown, recorded loads of beautiful pieces of music just to sort of get out there and say, hey, I hope this makes you feel better. We went along to lots of hospitals to just play. And, you know, he's really, really well known and just a guru in the music world. But it's not so much because of his cello playing. It's just because he's this beautiful spirit. And I think he's somebody I would musically love to meet and talk to. And he would just be someone with incredible depth that I'd really enjoy talking to.
Okay. Yo-Yo it is.
Yo-Yo it is.
Right. We should press on. So sometimes people help you pack what's going in your backpack. And sometimes they might put things in there that you don't want to be in there. So what would you want to make sure is not going in your backpack?
So it wasn't necessarily it is not in there, but I'd be quite happy if the person packing my backpack for me didn't put in a load of tools or psychometrics. You know, there can be an assumption that if you're a coach, that you will work with your clients using a load of psychometrics. And I think probably in the very early days as of being a coach, I relied on them more, but I tend to use them less and less now. So I'd rather see if there's something that really fits and that's going to help shed more colour on the person I'm working with and help me understand them more. So then I might use a certain psychometric, but I would err on the side of not packing a load of psychometrics.
That's interesting. So I don't know if it's where I came from in terms of product and service development, but someone has never come to me with the expectation of running those. So I wonder if it's the industry or the fact that nearly all of the people you see are a leadership.
Yeah, I don't know. As you say that, I'm wondering, or is it more a sort of psychology training and an expectation that you will try and dig to find the real answer about somebody, and this means that you're going to be like this, and here I am, and I've proved it to you. That sounds really disparaging. I don't mean that anyone coming from a psychology background will be trying to find that answer at all, but I do think there are, myself included, coaches that are trained in a certain way and may feel that, or may in the early days use a lot of psychometrics more as a way of security blanket, actually. You know, if I use this, that opens up a discussion in this way. And if I use this, it opens a discussion up in that way, rather than let's just go back to the blank sheet of paper thing and sit down and take the space and work out what's really going on.
One final question. Where do you hope you are or are not heading on this fictional gig?
So I'm at a really interesting point where I've just finished my doctorate. I've just done this interesting research on confidence, and I don't quite know where it's going, but I really hope that I can do more work with it. You know, so little has been researched on confidence. It's so crucial. It comes up in every conversation we all ever have. So I want to be able to use my doctorate, my work, I want to be able to work with more coaches. I work very much on my own. And I think I've come to the end of lockdown and thought, yeah, I'm good in a team. I really miss being with others. So I think there's more work to do with others. And I am training to be a supervisor. So I'd love to see where that goes, but end up supervising people as I finish my training.
Okay. I feel like I want to ask this, but maybe this is too difficult a question. If you had to give one tip to listeners for improving their confidence, what would you say?
Only one.
I don't want to take all of your information. Only one, you see, just gives them a bit of a hook and then you can reel them in.
Oh, so here's the controversial one. And this is what surprised me in my findings. Consider ways to feel able to show more vulnerability. Because my research, I can't say the word, showed that actually being able to be vulnerable, which actually was not possible for most of the leaders in their organisations and probably isn't possible for a lot of people, but by being able to show vulnerability, by saying, I don't know the answer, or I'm struggling, or I'm not feeling confident, or whatever, however that was defined, helped people to feel confident. And when I asked people to describe confidence, one of the first things they said, so I interviewed leaders and coaches, was vulnerability. So it's almost like an unattainable thing, but it's really important.
Fantastic. Well, I'd like to clarify that I've got absolutely no idea how to record a podcast. So there we go. Okay, that's marvellous. Thank you so much for being on The Coach's Backpack. If people would like to know more about Dr. Andrea Kilpatrick, where can they go?
So LinkedIn and also my website, kilpatrickexecutivecoaching.com.
Marvellous. Well, thank you, Andrea, for being our guest on The Coach's Backpack.
Thank you, David, so much. Thank you for having me. It's been really good fun.
And thank you for joining us on this episode of The Coach's Backpack. If you would like extra goodies such as free tools, offers, further info about our guests, and maybe even the odd peek inside their actual backpack, sign up to our mailing list at thecoachesbackpack.com. And don't forget to follow the podcast too. See you next time.